glasses for the fall, from the summer to the fall, yeah. And these women had gotten some plan that, you know, maybe 2-3 years of it for their young. Maybe they'll have time to make a little shirt for their daughter or son. And then when I had Lorna, of course, I think if I knew I had a hat out there, I might have got some flannel or something, but against my will, but I still would have. But then I was supposed to go to a clinic, though. So I look, I says, what are we going to put on her now? Well, I says, powder. And I says, it's just going to get rotten. And Colin says, gee, he says, these women brought me flannel. They were good about it. They brought, I got about it. Yards from women around nearby. And I told Colin, maybe you should go to your cousin and see if she's got some powder. But we would never want to ask from anything. We don't like borrowing.
So even on such occasions?
No. I would have, though, you know. And he says, gee, he says, I don't know. And I'll ask my father to ask them after a while. He says, my dad. I told him, okay. Then Dad came in, and while we were talking about this, he says, Dad, you should go and see Doris about some powder for the baby snaddle. We had no oil. I just washed her with, you know, just sponged her with face cloth.
Cold water, warm water?
Warm water. And he says, well, I will do that, he said, but he says, we're going to go to Tuck this morning, this right. Within about another hour, he says, you want to come along, he says, to get some baby stuff, you can. Colin says, no, he says, I can't leave my wife now because she's not very strong yet. He says, well, that's good, he said, I thought you might have wanted to go and I'd just stay. He says, no, you go. And I says, well, I'll write some things down that I need. And I had, I had about 4 or 5 family allowance checks for Jeffrey, you know, that I'd kept. I'd saved these up, and I told him I'll send a couple along to get some flannel and stuff. But then he says, well, I'm going to go out here now, and I'm going to, I says, are you going to go and ask for some powder? Yeah, he says, but I'll come right back. He says, he went out, and he, you know these, you ever see these, what do you call them? This wood that you ever see Eskimos carving little boat out of orange colored wood, they call them Kairo, Sakalo, Kairo, I think they call them. But you know these cotton trees, like it's birch
wood.
Trees, yeah. And you know the peeling on them, the bark on them is thick, eh?
The white birch?
No. The
cottonwood.
The peeling on them is thick, very thick. Then when that falls off, you know, it gets old and then it gets orange. And it's real soft and real good for carving. Natives along the delta here, the children, and I guess in the early years, that's where we learn it from, or adults, is that they carve things. My aunt used a very good carver. She used to carve these boats and little objects, little dogs for me out of this kind of wood.
Cottonwood.
Uh-huh.
Old cottonwood.
For the bark from...
The bark of cottonwood.
The bark of old cottonwood. Well, that's the only... These cottonwood, they have bark on them. So thick, you know. Some of them can be very thick. Depends on how big the cottonwood is, of course. And they always pick these up for carving. But my father-in-law said, the Eskimos picked this and burned it, and then the coal of it is real soft. It's soft, and yet, you know, it can be in chunk, and then you can squash it in little chunk, powdery. It's not lumpy like or hard like the other kind of wood. Of course it could be, but then this cottonwood bark is real easy to burn right away, and then it's just powders. And this they use for the navel. They put it, they make sure it's right in, right around. You know, it's black and dirty. It's cold. But they use this always, and I use this on my daughter. But he said they never used powder in those days. I was very much against it, but and then I never argued against my father-in-law, but I just let him do it. He put it on himself. He applied it himself first to show me how to do it. It's like applying powder. Make sure it's in every crease. And then I asked him, I said, when babies are born, I says, and you know they get rash or their little bottoms, I says, what you do? I says, you use this too? For powder, like for base? No, no, he says, they don't. I says, well, you ever seen a child that's raw in the bottom? He says, never my children, my wife never used powder, we never got no raw bottoms. I says, and even when they use moss, he says, never. He says, he's seen some careless mothers get their baby's bottoms raw, you know, red rash, diaper rash, even without the aid of powder or soft flannel. Never, he said. And I told him, well, why do you think they do that? He says, rubber pants. Not one of my children have used rubber pants. They've used soakers, you know, woolen soakers, but never rubber pants. My family is very much against that also. Don't ever let your children use rubber pants. That makes them get raw bottoms. And I says, well, I change them every so often so they don't get time to be raw. I never had raw bottoms either. But he said, well, they can become real bad. I seen some kids have real bad cases of it. And my family believes, and I found out my father-in-law believes also that it's caused by rubber pants. Little wet bottoms wouldn't hurt you none, he says, rather than to see a rashy bottom. But anyway, it took my daughter about 3 days for her navel to drop off, you know, for to get it all clear, even with this. And it never got real clean until, you know, you don't wash it around there very much till they get dropped off and dry it. And I was always so scared. My father-in-law used to laugh at me. I thought that she's going to have a black spot there always from this black coal. But I looked after my babies, all of them. Eskimo families, they believe in bathing children, and I know a lot of them, they don't bath their children, although it's not against their belief. But if I had wee ones, and if I weren't in a very nice place, you know, like maybe in a tent, then I wouldn't give them bath steady, but I'd give them a throughout oil bath. You know, I'd just soak their little bodies with oil, with this baby oil, and then I'd swab it off with a flannel, and I'd powder them and put clothes on them. But if there was children going in and out, or if there was visitors there, and I was afraid of draft. But these natives, I don't know, some of them I know they don't, I don't know if they bath them very much, but I don't know how much they bath, they can bath their babies. But I've seen a lot of natives now, Nunatamiqs, Sigilifs are very clean people with their clothes and their children, and I've seen real clean houses. Nunatamiqs are all right, but not as neat. And I've seen quite a few Nunatamiq children that just get crusty here, you know. Maybe, I don't know, I often think maybe they don't wash them. Just, I never had children that way. Just thick crust there. I heard nurses talk about this too, you know, when they get children up there, the little town of children, they just have thick crust there. And, you know, soak it with oil, and then if you did this with comb, it'll just start falling off.
Yeah.
And, I seen some children with just newborns with pretty dirty nightgowns, you know, very dirty little clothes on. And oh boy, it really breaks my heart because I really got a touch for little ones. And I always think that they're the ones that you're supposed to really keep clean. And I've seen a lot of women keep them very clean, but I've seen dirty ones too.
Yeah. Do you think that they're especially in danger? Do you think that very young children are particularly helpless or likely to get sick or something like that?
Yes, well, not only that, but they should always be clean. Because, I can't stand a little baby just newborn with dirty clothes. Well, what's the trouble with it? You know, they don't get that dirty. They must never change them for a long time, because you can have a little nightshirt on a baby for 2 days if there was nothing else to put on it. I had this trouble. I had to let her use her shirt for 2 days, but she never got a speck of dirt on it except from maybe from my handling her. You know, I mean, I always washed and everything before I took her, but, sometimes I go in with just sweating and she's crying, and maybe I pick her up and put her, maybe I could put a little dirt on her myself, but for her own self, she can't get that dirty in just a short while. So some people must keep them awfully, never change their shirt for an awful long time, because though they don't get into anything dirty, you know, they're soft and they can stay as clean and quiet as can be, as long as you keep them clean and well fed. Babies are pretty fussy, you know, you have to keep them dry and well fed, or else they'll be cranky all the time.
Well, what do you do with a cranky baby?
I never had a cranky baby. Never a real cranky baby. As long as, I always believe that as long as they had their bath, I know some children can cry if they miss their bath, you know, they get so used to taking a bath. Like if I had my children and if I didn't give them their evening bath, and by 10, 11 o'clock at night, if they were sort of cranky, you know, not sleeping like they usually do, then regardless, I'd give them a real quick sponge, and that would be what they're crying about. Because maybe I would think this is what they were crying about, because they'd keep quiet afterwards.
Does the newborn baby sleep with the mother?
Mother, very much. I couldn't sleep if my baby was sleeping in a crib. I couldn't sleep in the bed without it.
How long does it sleep with the mother?
Well, my daughter, she just about 2 months ago, she started sleeping with her sister or alone. You know, she'll still come into our bed maybe middle of the night sometimes, and
that's
sometimes
crazy.
But I can, a lot of children 2, 3 years old, 4 years old sleep with their parents.
Well, now when the baby sleeps with the mother, does the father still sleep with
sure
the
mother? I always well, the bed is always against the wall on our side, and I always have the baby, I always have two pillows this way, you know, just
crossing.
Two pillows this way, crossing just at the end. And I have the baby laid right in the middle there. Sort of, well, anyway, Eskimos believe that a baby just can't stay in the crib one way, or in the bed, or what way. They like to be turned on the side, and then on the other side, and then lay them on the tummy. My children are real tummy babies, you know, they always sleep with their bottom sticking out in the air and their chest flat on the bed. And this is real good to have children this way in case of a cold when they're small. This Dr. Schaefer, the guy that was my doctor when I was pregnant with Jeffrey, he told me he was born with a cold. So he says, as long as the mattress is firm, you know, and the sheet is firm on it, let it lay on the tummy. Just check that it's not covered in the nose.
Mm-hmm.
That changes head from side to side every so often. And this, I tell you, he says, is the best way to have your children sleeping all the time. If you don't have trouble with this one this way, then the next one you see that you let it sleep this way also. He was always giving the advice. So all my babies, I took his advice, and I always let them sleep this way. I mean, not continually. I let them sleep on their backs too, but a lot of times in the daytime, I always put them on their tummies. And they get strong chests quick too, he says. You know, they start trying to get up right away.
Yeah.
And but then I have myself beside the baby, and I'm so scared something will happen that I'm very light sleeper. I'm always light sleeper. Even now, I get up very easily.
The baby,
you know,
sleeps against the wall?
Well, with these two pillows,
yeah,
this way.
Yeah.
And I can't roll over. I mean, I don't Maybe if I moved around lots. I know some women say, I move around so much in my sleep, I'm scared to sleep with my baby, so she sleeps alone. But we both don't move around very much. And then Colin always gets up. If my babies are bottle feeding babies, we both get up. We both, if he notices that I'm extra lazy, then he keeps an eye. And then he, you know, he always gives me a push, get up. I never feed babies laying down. I've seen a lot of Eskimos that lay down sleeping, and I wake them up. Your baby's crying. And they just get up and give them their breath, and they're sleeping away, you know. I've seen a lot of things like this, and I've asked my girlfriends if they have to get up at night to feed their babies. No, they just give them their bottle. I know a very good girlfriend of mine in the doula, and that feeds her babies all the time. And but I sit up for mine. I sit right off the bed. I don't take no chance in staying in the bed. I can fall asleep real easily, and I can get up real easily. But I sleep with my babies. Most natives sleep with their wee ones.
And the baby would be fed any time it cried without regard to the clock?
Well, yes, if they weren't put on a schedule, they would feed them. Mine are. I was taught this.
By the nurses?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had just been in a hospital, then I found it was so much easier to go by schedule, you know. Mine are, I always got up at 2 o'clock and at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, always. And you know, a child, if it was born in hospital and got up at these certain times, they'll always get up at that certain time. They'll always get up at their feeding time. And it's easy this way. Then you could say, well, I got this to do, and I do it anyway. But a lot of known, then these girls, I tell them, don't you have a time for feeding your baby? No. Says, my baby might get hungry, so I have to go home and feed it. I says, well, do you feed it at any old time, or got a certain time if I kind of want them to stay a little longer? No, I just give my baby feeding any old time he wants it.
This is a breastfeeding you're talking about?
Breastfeeding and bottle feeding. And since I've worked in the transit center, we had a few girls in there, you know, young girls. Mm-hmm. And Rosie LaRoche is on night shift. Adela Airy is on 8 to 12. My sister-in-law Agnes was there. And I says, how come that baby was up so late yesterday? Did it sleep all day or something? They says, that kid stayed up till about 3 o'clock this morning. Did it stay up yesterday? Or did it get any sleep? No. I says, what time did you give it this bottle? Oh, those purdies say we have to go by hours in Miss Porter, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and so on, 10 o'clock feeding. We don't believe. We never raised our children that way, so we don't want to start doing this to anybody's children either. Native children are not raised that way. We don't have to follow the white way if we don't want to. And this is something I get against them so much about, because I tell them, well, maybe you feel that way. I says, but think how the Purdy's and myself feel. We're used to skit, you know, we're used to having a regular skit at certain times. And then these babies are taught this way. When they're in a hospital, they just have to adjust to it. I says, so don't you think that you should, it would be much easier? And then they says, they put out enough milk, just enough milk that'll last them, you know, we know how many feedings they're going to go through. Of course, sometimes a child wouldn't get full with 6 or maybe 8 ounces, and sometimes you have to give them. I don't think they ever give those kids water, glucose, sugary water. I always do. I give them a bottle, and in between, if they cry, I give them at least 2 ounces of glucose. And you know they're the best. I never had trouble with those children. And yet these other shift workers say those kids, they cry and cry and cry, and I can't stand them that much. But they never do that for me. And I don't like the way this things are. I mean, I don't like in there. There's too many workers there, they don't get along. You know, they each and everyone like to have their own way with it. But I know natives, they don't have a root. I'm a native, but a few of them will have, sure, maybe, but most natives I know, they never have a feeding hours set as a hours.
If there's breastfeeding, is there also a supplemental?
They just give them any old time.
Just, I mean, is there also a bottle with the breast?
Some I know. Well, some I know that don't have, that don't feed, seem to be giving their babies enough. I was never one to have so much milk that I had to. In the beginning, I always have mine with bottle and with milk for myself, breastfeeding and bottle. But and I had my children, these younger ones, off the bottle very early. I mean, off my breast very early. Jeffrey, at 6 months, I got him off because I would have had him off sooner because I had so much work to do all the time, you know, hauling wood and stuff like this. But doctor insisted that. Well, he was old-fashioned. He said he insisted. Now a doctor wouldn't tell you. He wouldn't force a mother to feed, but he insisted that I should feed it for 6 months. At least, he says, 6 months. So I did feed it for 6 months. And then Lorna, I fed her for 4 months. But Joey, I fed him from my breast for 10 and a half months. And then he had bottle for a month and a half and quit. But
any reason why Joey was fed longer?
Because I had more, because I had a lot of milk. I don't know for what reason, but I had a lot of supply of milk for him. Yes, I had less work to do. I never worked. I mean, I did things around the house, but I never had to do other things. I wanted to feed Lorna longer, but Colin that year had a sick year. He never felt good, but I had to put in a lot of times where I had to get wood and things, and he didn't like it one bit, but it couldn't be helped. And this, you know, this way I gave her the bottle and a little more. And if I don't come back at this time when it's her feeding time, Colin, you give her this bottle, and I always got things ready for her. And then it got to where I was off more and more, and then she was more onto the bottle than from me, so I just switched her onto the bottle. Then with Joey, I had a real lot of supply of milk. I had to take pills in order to make my breast stop running. And then ever since I took those pills to stop my breast from running, ever since I never had no supply of milk for a month. Maybe I feed them for two, three weeks, and then they're hardly getting by.
Just Eddie, for example?
Yes. Eddie had two feedings from me, then he was put on bottle. Because we were gonna go out in the bush. Eddie was 8 days old, and we went out in the bush. And then I know what lay ahead, skinning and, you know, a lot of work out there. But still, I had no supply. I had real poor supply of milk, so I just put them on bottle.
When was Eddie weaned? Oh, go ahead. Don't let me
describe it. Then, but natives believe that you should feed your baby from yourself. The older natives believe, myself, I'm not that old, but I believe they should feed their babies from themselves. If they're not working mothers, I think that's the best milk they could get is from their mothers. And I often tell these young, this other young married couple, feed it from yourself. And the natives also believe that if you feed it from yourself, they're healthy and they're stronger, and they get better supply they get from their mother than from a bottle. The natives believe this, which is true. And they say also that number one thing is that their stool is not as stinky as from bottle. They believe that their stool, well, that's true. They never have a, sometimes they can have constipation, sometimes they can get runny stool, and there's no trouble with this when the mother is feeding them. But also the mother, when the baby is small, like, you know, just small, like with Lorna, my father-in-law says, you better not eat bucked up too much, just a little bit, or dry meat or anything, because that's strong for your baby and that'll cause her to have stomach ache. And this is true. If I've been eating all along now, like I've been eating straight more white man food than whatnot, and then I went and ate a piece of muktuk, and, you know, just I would never eat it for a long time, and then I ate muktuk, and then I had my baby feeding, then she'd have real green stool, real ugly looking stool, and then she'd cry at night because she had a tummy ache, and it's caused from the muktuk. And they tell us to watch what we're eating when we're breastfeeding our babies. And they say you never have trouble with a stool when you're feeding your baby. And a bottle makes a bad smell. And they don't wet their diapers as often as a bottle-fed baby. They say bottle-fed baby, they get they wet their bed more often or wet their diapers more often. This is their, this is why they always try and give us advice to feed our babies from ourselves. My mother-in-law almost had a fit when I put Lorna on a bottle at 4 months old. But some people I've noticed and I've seen very well with my own eyes, as long as their child wants the bottle, they'll give it to them. As long as they don't, they have to outgrow it themselves.
Themselves.
And sometimes they make an attempt to try, maybe once or twice, but not really, you know. Just say, well, you have to stop sucking this bottle pretty soon. And the baby's talking, of course, says no. But I go, well, I shouldn't laugh because I had this experience. There's Jeffrey now. I got him, I weaned him on a cup at a very young age. He was a year and 1 month old and he quit his bottle. And that's really young for an Eskimo. And Lorna at a year and 2 months old. And Joey, well, I fed him for 10 and a half months and he wasn't quite a year old when he quit his bottle. Got him on a cup. And the same with Eddie. And then trouble came when Ricky comes along.
Yeah.
The first four children all quit bottle within a year and 2 months.
Yeah. Well, Ricky isn't the one that had to breast one.
No.
No. That was Joey.
Joey. But anyway, Ricky comes along and he quit bottle, then he starts bottle, he quit and then maybe Lisbeth comes along. Well, we know I didn't look after Ricky a lot of time when he was small. I was out in the bush most of the time and I had babysitter with him mostly. And I was always either trapping or shooting rats. I never neglected the family, but I never took full care of him. And this is what I blamed it on. That the babysitter thought, well, it's just easier to give him a good old bottle. I've seen Terry Firth's little girl still suck bottle on. Says it's the best thing to give her when she's noisy, you know. Makes her shut up right away. But anyway, they thought they'd give her, as well they said, rather than to give my babysitter trouble with him, then just let him have the bottle. If he wants it, then give it to him. And of course, then after I took over after we started staying back in Inuvik and I got him off bottle and he cried and I was uptown or someplace and I go home and Ricky's sleeping there. And here's a bottle beside his bed. I says, well, who gave him the bottle? And Colin says, I did, because I didn't want to carry him around. You know, he'd give him a bottle. And he was 3 years old. 3 years old. And Troy was born a year and a half after Ricky was born. That meant two of them on bottles. And then this winter, early this winter, Troy would grab a bottle. I always have milk in the fridge. Troy would grab a bottle and cry. He wants a bottle. It's his way of showing us he wants a bottle. And then he started talking really young. He says, Icky, give me bottle. And every time Ricky, it's the funny part of it, a lot of native children are this way. I've seen them mixing bottles for themselves. And I laughed at them, you know. But then Ricky comes along and he fills his own bottle. And then Troy would say, Icky, fill mine. And then he got to where he got so shy. Gee, I'm so tired of mixing bottle for you, Troy. That's enough for now, okay? And then every time he wanted a bottle, Troy wanted a bottle. And Ricky got tired of having to fill two bottles. So he says, Mommy, I'm going to quit bottle. I'm tired of filling Troy's bottle. Every time I want one, Troy wants one too. So he stopped his way. This was one child we let have his way with a bottle. I mean, you know, once a child goes off and on, it gets real hard, then it's just better to let him stop himself. And I knew he was where he started hiding his bottle from us. You know, he wouldn't suck where somebody could see him. He was shy. But then he got so tired. He says, gee, every time I want a bottle, Troy wants a bottle, I get tired of filling two bottles, so he's going to quit. And he meant it. He quit. fault because he was lazy to fill two bottles. And then Troy is still on a bottle, maybe one bottle. Then I'm not, you see, again, there I'm at home very much so. Especially weekends, Colin sticks the bottles in.
Influence a child's personality to have the bottle too long?
I don't know. But I was always against long bottle feeding.
I thought something about it.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was very good. My brother Archie said my mom breastfed him for 4 years. And I thought that was the most thing. People came in and Archie started wrestling with my mom. I was so embarrassed, I had to get out.
Why did you think it's not good? Or you just want to answer a chick?
No, I don't know. I just don't think it's good at all. I don't think they should suck bottle that long. Because they're old and they're eating. If they're eating, I don't see why they should be having a bottle. I see this, and I'm having one good time trying to get Troy off bottle. I'm trying really hard to get him off bottle. Then the weekend comes along, and they got a bottle on him.
Now how about when people were breastfeeding, or you were breastfeeding, and you had a difficulty in weaning? You're talking about hard weaning now with a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
How about hard weaning with a breast?
I never had a hard weaning with a breast because I had them on both bottle and breast. I know there's a lot of women said that they had a hard time getting their child off their self and putting them on a bottle. But I never had trouble with this because I had bottle along with them all the time. I gave them sugary water always in a bottle. I gave my children this every day. I think that children should be given water every day. And I've asked some girls, when did you give him water last? I never give him water. He never drinks nothing.
Or juice.
I give my children juice. They have juice and water. But I never believed in canned stuff either, baby food. I mean, I know they're good for children, but I never... Ricky got used to this because he got it in the hospital. He had low blood count, so he stayed in for 3 weeks. And then they put him on baby foods. And he always ate baby foods. But my other children ate from the table. And toilet training. My daughter learned to sit in a pot at the age of 3 months old. She cried, Lorna. She cried. Every time she wanted, she cried. My mother-in-law weaned her on this, trained her on it, rather. All native children, the older ones, like my mother-in-law, my mother, they all get their children toilet trained very young, very, very young.
Same as in the old days?
Same as in the old days, but now it's different. It's different altogether now.
Oh.
I don't know, they don't. My mother-in-law always had a little can, we didn't have a real pot. We did get a pot later when we got a first chance to get into town, but she had a little tobacco can or something and she held the baby there. And she always blew on the top of the head. I don't know if that helped, but they have this and they hold them on this. When they notice their diaper is not wet and they haven't wet their diaper, they put them on the pot right away. And the older middle-aged people, they do this, they train their children very early in toilet trained, pot trained. But now I see it's not at all so. I never trained mine that way either. I put them on a pot. Of course, they have these toilet seats now, baby seats.
Well, that's the difference that you mean.
Well, I don't see this in all homes. Of course, I never go to homes. I ask a lot of my girlfriends if their children are trained. No.
How about
I've seen a lot of
Clara's baby. Is it trained?
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
5 year old?
It's over. It'll be 2 years old next month. I don't know if it would be.
What you're saying is the training was stricter in the past than now? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it was strict, but it was always done.
And
I wouldn't say.
Regularly done.
No. I've seen natives, like my mother-in-law and my mother, at that age, always putting little wee ones on a pot at a very young age, and this they learned real quick, they believe, and not all natives did this, but most of them.
But this means catching the baby before it went let it go.
And then,
but did they also expect the baby to control itself in any way?
No, a baby, it gets so used to being held on this. I mean, it's not hold continually, but a young baby learns very fast, very fast. And then, you know, they always be held. Every time they hold them for this, they know for what reason they're holding them this way. They don't let them go right against the can. They hold them a little up off the can. And they get to know. They get to know why they're being held this way. A child, you can tell the cry of a child if they're hurt or if they're hungry or if they're just whining. But a baby, you know, when it gets up and start crying, and then you just go right away, and then if the bottoms are not wet, you put it on the pot right away. And most cases, he's crying because of this. Four of my older children were taught this way, but the others, I never toilet trained them. Well, I mean, I never got started putting them on the pots at the age of 3 and 4 months old. They don't have a real, they don't have a regular age either. It doesn't matter how young it is, to start whenever you want. But the younger the better, the smaller the better. But with my other children, while they're small, whenever I'm going in the bathroom and there's nobody around, I always say, Mommy's going in the washroom, don't you feel like going? You know, I make it something like a big deal that it's some, you did a big deal if you went in the pot. And you know, I always had a pot on the side for them. Then when I did go, they always went in there, and they had to be very young, you know, when I went in there with them. And then they go. Every time they see me or somebody else went, go to washroom, me too. And we says, you wait a while, just wait. And then we go on there or either let them go first. But most of my children, they insisted I went before they did. And then, you know, as they grew older, then and I always says, Mommy shouldn't be in here with you or somebody else shouldn't be in here with you. Then they just grow up to know it.
And how about Eddie specifically?
Eddie.
Yeah.
This Eddie?
Yeah.
He's the four oldest ones that they trained at a real young age.
He was trained at a young age.
At a real young age.
So
and then, well, that right from Ricky, I started telling him, you go in the washroom with me. I let him use diapers until he was a year old. And, yeah, and my auntie thought that's silly. I mean, she just could get a fit if a child at the age of, now she's changed, she's different altogether now. But if a child at 8 months, 6 months was using diapers, boy, she lit on to me.
Oh,
she thinks a poor thing.
Just pants?
No, I never let them. Just pants. If they were not toilet trained, they have to use diapers.
But what did you
She
answer?
Let them use just pants. She didn't let them use no diaper. Because at night time, you know, just to be on a safe side, she'd put diaper under them or she'd put it on them. But a child wouldn't like to use those diapers once he's off them at a young age. But my daughter, I get a diaper on her every night. Mm-hmm. At night. Then they, as young as they are, they'll get up and cry to go in the pot. My aunt always gets up when she gives them their feeding. She gets up and put them in the pot, and then she puts them back to bed. And it's first thing in the morning, she gets them on the pot.
It should be Tracy too.
Yeah. She's well, you know, a child at a certain age, they won't wet their bed anymore at night. It just depends on how much they have to drink, I suppose. And Tracy still sucks bottles, so I get up. Well, I get up about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and I put her on the pot. And if she just, a lot of times I don't either. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I put her on the pot. Most of the time, even if she had bottles, she wouldn't go in there. But Eskimos believe that little girls can hold their little water longer than the boys can. The boys wet more often than the girls. So if they have a boy baby, they take extra special care on it. I mean, not special. They look at it more frequently than they would to a girl. And it's harder to train a boy than a girl. So they start younger on a boy. Some women start younger on a boy than on a girl. And my children were very funny. I never got them circumcised. Jeffrey was in hospital in a Klavik, they didn't, they could then, I guess, I suppose, but they didn't ask then, you know. And then I had Lorna, then I had the two other boys at home, and then I had Ricky. Mm-hmm. But then Jeffrey was very curious, you know. He asked me about such things, why he was different from Lorna. And at a real young age, Jeffrey was taught a lot of things. I explained a lot of things to him. And he's quiet about himself, you know. He gets up to a certain mischief and he can get pretty silly. But he's real serious about a lot of things. He's got a serious little mind for a boy of 14. But even at a real young age, and I tried my best to explain to him that he was a boy and then she was a girl. And he asked me that, and he says, all girls are like her. And I said, yes, they were. And then he came across somebody that had been circumcised, and he had the laugh of his life. He says, that one's got a funny one, you know. And I tried to explain to him that the doctors had to do that to him, that when he gets older, I says, he doesn't have to do that. When you get older, you'll probably do this. And I never knew that they could do this at an older age, but to stop Jeffrey from it, I had to tell him something. And then it became a truth that when Jeffrey was at the age of about 7 years old, when they had an examination in school, they found that he couldn't, his foreskin wouldn't go back very far, so they had to give him one. They can do this at an older age. So Jeffrey did go in. But you see, he's not concealing. I mean, he doesn't show himself off. He's not the sort that'll run around with no clothes. And Jeffrey will never step on the floor without a pair of socks when he was young. This is the way my auntie trained him. Nell will not step in the floor without socks on. Mm-hmm. And then that meant all his other clothes too. Then, you see, Joey and Eddie were born at home. They couldn't do this to them. And then from after having Jeffrey asked questions like this, then when I had Ricky and they asked me if I wanted him to get circumcised, then I couldn't guarantee that I'd always have him covered. The boys would never have a chance to see him. And they'd start asking curious questions. I'd try my best to answer them. But then they might get their brother, they might tease him about it, you know. So I explained to Dr. Kramer, I says, Doctor, I says, I certainly would like to, but for the sake of my other boys, I think I better not. I says, because the other boys, well, Jeffrey was very curious and laughed about mm-hmm. another boy, and he didn't hide it for a minute. He was telling other little boys that other little boy had a funny thing. You ever seen it? He was telling the little kids there. And so I explained it to the doctors, and then that went on. So with Troy, I didn't get none of them circumcised. But I never asked the natives how they felt about this. You know, I'm sure they must have their feelings about it. They must have their feelings about it. I've never asked them about it. And
your father-in-law never made any comment?
No. He did ask me, though. Well, I mentioned the fact that he came to visit them. I told Colin, I was telling Colin at the time when my father-in-law came in, I told Dr. Kramer I'd have a talk with my husband first before I gave him the answer. So I says, try to get along with Colin, but I know my father-in-law will sit there through and he's there, so I talked with Colin. And then he kept very quietly, he let us have our own say all the time, you know, and then if he thought we did wrong, then he'd always pipe in. But he listened and he never said anything. I could tell, though, he was pretty curious. He leaned forward and listened. And then he said at the end, he says, I'm glad you had it that way, he says. Then he might have been against it. I didn't ask him. But he said, I'm glad you decided this way. But we know it's better that they should be circumcised, but still it was for the sake of my other boys, you know, and then it might hurt the younger ones. Yeah. They might feel hurt. But I think I decided the right way.
Can I ask you some questions about the weaning and the toilet training?
Mm-hmm.
When there was difficulty in weaning from the breast, did the mother do anything to her breasts? still fighting the battle?
Well, when Archie, I don't know about weaning them from bottle. I suppose I heard some talk that they put pepper or something on their nipple of their breast, you know.
Talk or reading?
I talk. I heard talk, not reading. And I seen this with my own eyes to my brother. I mixed mustard, you know, you know, this real dry mustard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mixed that with water and I put it at the tip of my mom's breast. And if Archie came in, I tried anything to get Archie out of my mother's breast. And you know, he'd get Archie was a real character when he was small. He'd go over and get a rag and wipe it. Then he got to, he got to learn. Before he put his mouth on the nipple, he'd go over and have Kleenex and wipe and shine it. And I used to get so mad at him, you know. And then we put pepper, but he got smart onto that too. And we teased him about it. And he'd act like he was shy, but you know, the taste of that milk was better than anything, I guess, to him. And he ate solid food. He ate anything he wanted.
As far as toilet training goes, was the child, any child ever whipped, spanked for slow toilet training?
I've heard they've been spanked for it. And well, from my girlfriend staying with me, if their little one wet their bed, they'd give them a real good spanking and say, don't you wet ice.
What
she was
age
not
did that be?
A year, 2 years maybe, some of them. I never seen a need of spanking a baby unless they may be very mean at the under the age of one. I've never seen them. I've seen them slap them on the hand maybe, but never. A native always says, don't spank your kid. He's too young to understand. Wait until he gets older. But my children got their spanks when they're about a year and a half. If he did something very bad, you know, and then I'd give him a couple of whacks, but just a little bit, because they learn real easily. And
what
but
did the natives mean when they said understand? Did they mean age
they
seven,
said they
three?
Says they don't know what you're spanking them for.
Up to what age would they mean that?
Well,
would
I
the child be able to understand?
I heard them say that even to a 4-year-old boy.
Okay.
They say my mom told me this, and so I pass it on to this girl that came over to stay with us for a while. She spanked her little 2-year-old daughter, and I says, she wasn't quite 2. I says, look, I says, you shouldn't spank that kid for wetting the bed like that. You should just talk to her. I says, look at the bed. I make a big thing out of it if my children did this. I says, man, look at this water. Where'd it all come from? You know, I teased them about it. Not really teased them, and yet made them know that it wasn't right. Say, look at that, you wet your bed. You must have had one cup too many last night, eh? Maybe you shouldn't have another glass of water tonight, okay? And you know, I make them understand. And they says, I'll try not to next time. And then if I know Eddie is awfully lazy in the family to get up at nights. And so I used to have a little pot under the bed for him. When you want to go at night, you don't even have to walk. You just go in this little pot and just push it back under the bed. Make sure you push it back under so you don't put your foot in it in the morning. And I do this with my children. But this girl, she gave her daughter a great big spanking, and I told her, you should just talk to them and make them see that it's wrong, and you know, try to not even scold them. I said, sure, I can't help from being cranky sometime and using harsh words, I said. But I says, not for something like this. My mother believes that you frighten the child. They don't know whether to ask. They don't know whether they're getting scolded for wetting the bed or for not going to the pot or whatnot. They can't understand. They think that even if you spank a child for running away from home, they think that they can't understand what it got spanking for. So you don't have to spank it. Just talk to it.
That after 4 or 5, then there's enough understanding to use.
I think they think so, but I spanked mine at a young age. But I've seen people at 7, 6, 4 years old, mostly from 4 years old and up. They think that, well, I mean 4 years and under, and then older, they think that, I've seen some even seven and think that you shouldn't have done that. They don't know what, you know, they can't understand anything. You'll never learn them by spanking them. I've heard a lot to say in this.
Would this be equal to boys and girls?
That's right.
Yeah. You already told us about what we would call modesty training, keeping covered or not talking, or two of them going into the bathroom. Would modesty training be stronger for boys or for girls?
You mean for going in the bathroom?
All sorts of things connected with modesty, keeping covered, going into the bathroom,
I don't know what
themselves, all that comes under modesty.
Yeah, skills. Well, I was, my family's, Troy, take Troy, he doesn't give a darn if he's got no pants or not, he doesn't care who sees him. But my other children are very shy. I was always, even now, I don't like to go in the washroom if somebody's visiting me, even if I have to sit there and hold myself, I don't like to go in there if somebody else is in the, if somebody strange is in the presence. And when we used to go out to outhouses, you know, out in the bush or someplace, well, even my family is there, and I go about a couple of miles before I can go. And my children are very shy. They're, Lorna wouldn't change her dress unless all the boys are outside.
She'd have to train her for this stuff.
Well, I've taught her. I trained her. Tell her that she's a girl and she's to keep away from the boys. I've trained, I mean, if you mean that.
That's
yeah,
right.
Well,
that's
yeah, well, I trained my daughter this way. I, you know, when she's a very tomboy, a real tomboy. Now she's got her sister and she realized, and she's age 11 and she's starting to realize that she's a girl. I've noticed she's put on dress a couple of times where she thinks that she's made for pants. And I've wanted so much for her to use frilly dresses all the time because she was the only girl and she'd have them stuck in her drawer and never use them. I'd put it on her, but she's never happy, and I never believe in letting a child use something that they're not pleased with. I mean, you know, up to a certain extent. If I got a pair of slacks for her and she thought she should have had another color, well, that's too bad. She just has to use the color that I got her. But with a dress on, she's unhappy. I like to go and play. And this is why I trained her. She used to use dresses and go and play ball with the boys or maybe climb trees. And I tell her, Lorna, I says, you know, you're playing with straight boys and you got a dress on and your dress flies up and they can see your little panties and you're climbing trees
mm-hmm.
with them, you got a dress on.
Mm-hmm.
You should go and put on a pair of slacks if you're going to play with them. And I talked to her this way, then it got to where she didn't want to use a dress. Maybe I was a little bit too much on her, but then she think, at Christmas time I always got her the best doll and set of dishes I could find in the bay. And you know, I could tell she tried to be real pleased about it. She says, thank you so much. And still I could read into her. You know, you can tell your children. You can know what they're thinking. And I think to myself, I know she's not really pleased. But then maybe 2 or 3 hours later, or maybe 2 or 3 days later, I'd catch her. I wonder what Shirley got. She's always more close to Shirley and Barbara. She's about 2 weeks younger than Barbara Dillon. And about 2 years, maybe a year and a half or 2 years younger, older than Shirley. And she's always, you know, she always liked those two girls very much because she's used to them. And she always gave Shirley, she thinks Shirley owes her something, or maybe she thinks she protects Shirley. She always gives Shirley her cast-offs, you know, her sweater that Shirley might fit her, this sweater, for another month or so. But then Shirley might have holes in her elbows again. And she says, surely this is small for me, you can have it. You know, and then she always thinks that she's protecting Shirley, so she's really fond of Shirley. I wonder what Shirley got for Christmas. I wonder if she got dishes and doll and the little girl's comb and brush and things set. I wish Santa Claus, if he didn't give her the best, I wish he could have given her this.
Nah.
And given me a set of guns instead, I'd have been much happier with just a pair of guns, you know. And then But even so, even I know she was tomboyish, I always taught her to try to be careful in front of the boys. Like this, just this morning, you know, she had seen one of the girls over at our place, I guess, with a spot on their clothes. And she told me this morning, she says, then she seen something used from someone before staying at our house also. And that's twice now. She's asked me, why? Why is this? And she's 11 years old, so I explained to her as best as I could. But it still hasn't, she'll never understand it fully until she starts herself. But I prepare her for it. Mm-hmm. I prepare that from the time comes, she'll know what it's all about. And then I could, you know, give her a little more information on it, a little more something to expect or how to keep herself on it. And then this morning, you know, out of the blue sky, she didn't go to school this morning. She slept in. I didn't get home till about 8:40. And the boys didn't bother to get her out of bed. And this is one thing she doesn't like it. She'll cry if the boys wake her out of bed, you know. She thinks that they, well, a lot of times they have to really shake her in bed. And then she gets real shy if they take her blanket off her and, you know, pull her covers down. So the boys dare not touch her if Colin or myself are not around. But she says, this morning she says, I says, boy, Lorna, you're getting so big. You're almost getting as big as Mommy. The next thing we know, you'll be raising your own children. And, you know, this is to bring a smile to her because she was so mad because she didn't go to school. And she looked so terrible when she's mad. So I made her smile. And she says, Mommy, she says, how old you have to be? She says, I says, to be what? You know, not married, but still they can have children. And I told her, what made you think that? She says, well, poor Elizabeth wants to keep her baby. She can't keep it because she's got no home and she's not married. And that's her two babies she had. And she likes her children. She can't keep them because she's not married. You see, she's young, but she understands this because I always talk to her about it. I don't want her to make a mistake if at all she can help it like I did. So I always talk to her very much about it. And I try to talk to Jeffrey about things like this, you know, about being nice to girls. Don't be mean to them. Be nice to them. He thinks it's all funny. He thinks he'll never get a girlfriend. I'm never going to get a girlfriend. I don't like girls. He doesn't really dislike girls. He plays with girls. He plays ball with them and everything. But he thinks he's the sort that's going to have a free reign all his life.
What I get then is that Eskimo parents do want their children to be modest, to be decent,
yes,
to be covered up,
uh-huh,
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I get from what you say is that there's a difference in the way in which boys and girls are brought up. Girls are brought up to be girls,
mm-hmm,
not
that's
to
right
be boys.
No.
I suppose boys are brought up to be boys?
Yeah.
Not girls?
Not girls.
Are you careful that boys don't play with dolls? Or doesn't that bother you?
Well, I think it bothers them. I never seen a real, I never seen a boy that, a native boy that'll want to play with girl things. But I've seen, I've seen, my daughter was a tomboy. I mean, this is usual. I've seen a lot of tomboys in my life, and I was one myself. And then my daughter was one. But when I was a tomboy, I never used slacks. I used dresses. And then when Lorna told me, when one day she says, Mommy, when you were small, were you using slacks all the time? I says, no. I says, nobody used slacks in those days. All the girls were girls and used dresses and act like girls. And then Jeffrey would say, didn't you always play with the Dillon boys, Ma? I says, sure I played with them, but in a decent way. I says, we played ball and I always made sure that I didn't run with my legs flying and all, otherwise my auntie would let me have it, you know. But the Dillon boys, like their older brother is John. He was an older brother to them. And he always told his brothers, you boys treat Jessie decent and treat her like a lady or else. I'll make you wish you had, you know. And he always stuck up for me and he thought I was the best girl and everything. And he made his brothers respect me. And if they fought me for something, well, I can't blame they fought me for something, because I always make them fight me for something. I thought I was to blame. I always wanted to be smarter than they were, and I couldn't see anything that I was dumb and stupid, but I thought I was the best player, and I thought I was the best one with the slingshot and all. But for Eskimos teaching their children about being a girl and being a boy, they do teach them. And my uncle Donald, he's funny. He likes doing women's work. He can come in and he can do the dishes, and he can bake bread as well as any woman can, and can bake better than some could. And he'll make a really good pot of soup, and he can sew very good. Not the best, but he sews very good for it. He makes his own muclucs. And this is where I used to laugh at him all the time, was when I was single, just young, about 13. He'd go and cut out something from an old cloth, you know, and make a pair of shorts for himself. Or I'd say, Donald, could you make me one too to go swimming? And my granddad used to tell me, Donald, you should be out hunting, and Jesse should be sitting home sewing. I knew how to run this sewing machine, and I could sew probably if I wanted to. I could cut it out, but he made them so fast, and it seemed so easy to him. So I always said, Donald, you make them for me, okay? And he'd say, sure. And he'd be really proud of himself for anything he did. And a lot of times he helps my mother sewing. But then my mom always, anybody that was around, if she was sewing and she was in a rush, they always gave her a rush, or she says, here, you grab this and sew that for me. And
Donald never married?
No. He doesn't like girls. I don't know. He knows. He has. He hunts. He likes hunting, and he works, but he does a lot of women's work. I mean, if you're saying about boys being boys,
yeah,
and girls,
yeah,
being girls, and I don't know.
I was interested in was the way in which little children are encouraged,
mm-hmm,
one way or another. It's interesting,
mm-hmm,
about Donald. Apparently, all right for a girl to be a top boy,
yeah,
you don't expect a boy, a very young boy, to be a girl's play, play with girls.
Yeah, well, I've seen a boy or two with girls' things, probably in a home where there's half boys and half girls, you know, equal amount of boys and girls in the family. Maybe they would. But in my side, I had five boys and one girl.
Yeah.
And Lorna always has to. But the boys never bought her dolls, except for the talking dolls she got this one, because they were the first to play with it. Don't touch it, you're